Welcome back to the ROSC podcast, episode 23, where we're going to be talking about leadership versus management. Now, you may have noticed that it's been quite a long time since I've posted a podcast. And the reason is because I lost momentum. Simple as that. And I'm mentioning that because I think it's important to bring that up. I realize that it's important for me during the period of time that I had my sort of downness. It took understanding that to get me back on track. And I'm thinking that maybe this could be of benefit to someone listening. It's a matter of understanding that on one hand, I have received a lot of comments in person about what it takes for me to be doing what I'm doing and how amazing it is and how this and this and that. And I find myself doing this to people that I listen to and admire and look towards for a model and advice. And it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that that person is just at a higher level, right? Giving yourself an excuse to not be able to do those things. And this applies to you because you listening to this are of this mindset of wanting to achieve that greatness, even if it's just one step further. And that takes drive and determination. It takes a level of discipline and it takes a level of vision and momentum. Momentum coming secondary to the action that you take, of course. But the point is that let there be no delusion for me or for anybody who actually does grind and actually does deserve the credit that they get. The part of being human is that there are dips. And it's funny because I think of the analogy of like a child being dragged through a department store by their parent and how much more productive they might be if they just stopped resisting and went with the pull and then kind of figured out how to get what they want, because kids can figure those things out. Weird analogy, but the point is that I spent so much time resisting that feeling of procrastination, that feeling of overwhelm of all the things I'd need to do and not being satisfied with the level at which I'm doing it and being impatient with the long-term vision and the long-term goal, that it bogs you down. That combined with all different ideas and then not executing on them, every moment that goes by you don't execute on it, you're just building a discredit towards yourself and your brain, and that just slows you down. But I took a moment to realize that whether it's a day, a month, or a year, during this process of you changing, because it's a long-term process, it's also okay to slow down. It's okay to not feel like it. It's okay to, relative to the grand scheme, be lazy in that moment. Because everyone has a dip. There's always a dip that you're going to have, but it's about the longer part of the journey. And not to make this sound super philosophical and abstract, I'd like to make it sound a bit more grounded and concrete, but when you go into those phases of not wanting to do anything, that's where the self-forgiveness part comes into the whole grand scheme of being tough with yourself and understanding that this is our new norm. We don't want to do it. We need the discipline. We've got to do this, whether we like it or not. Doing the work when you don't want to show up is really important, but it's also important to understand that you're building that fortitude and you're building that endurance, and you build up and then you drop a little bit. Not to make this long-winded, but the point is, what I found is that if I gave myself the room to go into the dip, it gave me the brain space to be able to think about, okay, it's cool, we're in this dip for however long we're going to be in it. And it would give me room to think about things that I could set up on the other end of that dip so that when I come out, I've got something waiting for me. Anyway, point is, I am here getting back into it. I'm not making any promises to myself or to anybody else, but I am going to use this energy to realize that it's now I'm in that phase of the cycle of showing up when you don't feel like it. And the other part of that just reminded me, and I'll stop with this and move on to the actual topic, is showing up when you don't feel like it sounds a bit derogatory to the principle and to the topic at hand, but I mean it in the best way because it made me think about the people that have been listening thus far. Thinking to myself that, who do I think I am to be doing something like this? This is like outrageous to think this is going to turn into something, even though it's been like a year, which is nothing. Being in that nihilistic, pessimistic, negative, glass half empty state makes me ungrateful for the, at this time, 20, 30, 40 people downloading and listening to this. That's 20 or 30 or 40 people that could be doing something else and choose to listen to me talk about these, this public access to my personal journal. With that said, on to the topic. And I took a moment to say all of that because this topic is going to be a bit of a short one, but I'll try to drag it on somehow, as I typically drag a lot of things on. But leadership versus management. And there's three major points that I want to drive home with this particular podcast. Number one, creating an effective and a self-sustaining team requires understanding the difference and the complementary relationship between leadership and management. Number two, while needing leadership to have a vision for the path ahead, you need management with it to be able to execute on the process that comes from it. And number three, when leadership gives a vision for management to operate on, to execute on, the end result of that execution gives rise to things that feed back to another vision or a step forward that then give rise to a new process or an evolved process, and that cycle continues on itself. So the topic of leadership, especially in regards to it next to management, has been something that's kind of floated in my mind for a while. Every time I hear the term leadership, I've become more and more cognizant of the word management alongside it. And over this period of time and continuing forward, I am gaining and will, I think, continue to gain a clearer and clearer vision of what the two mean to each other and apart from each other. And I'm starting to, I think, also realize that one may not necessarily be better than the other, and in fact, one might not be able to exist without the other. Now, in this group and in this community, we talk a lot about finding your inner leader and really understanding the dynamic of leadership as a group and as an individual, whether you have the title or whether you are just solitary in your life as a leader, which you can be. And it always goes back to leadership having this air of creating vision, of taking advantage of the questions and the curiosity and the essentially the vision that one or many might have for a particular obstacle, for a particular topic, for a particular thing in their life. What's interesting is that I kind of think leadership exists not only in the position of a leader, but also in the follower, if you will, because being a follower of someone who is trying to lead requires a level of vision within yourself and generosity to be able to say, or to be able to sort of relinquish a part of you to follow that person's lead, to kind of go along with the rails that that person is setting forward. And I think that's what then gives rise to what exists as a team. It's sort of an agreement between the leader and the follower. But it is not to be said that the follower doesn't have a level of leadership in them. And that, I think, gives a bit more insight into what leadership means to me, that it isn't just as simple as one leading a group. Now, that's all well and good, but here's the problem. When the rubber meets the road, when you get down to brass tacks, how do I take this vision and this abstraction, how do I take all of these ideas and this ambition and put it into a situation where something needs to get done, where action needs to be taken? Or to bring it closer to home, how do I, in a situation of multiple gunshots coming in or any critical scenario or resuscitation or cardiac arrest, whatever, that vision isn't like these abstractions and this like lofty idea of what we can do and how we can evolve as a team. None of that stuff matters when something needs to get done. And this is where I think management actually comes in. Leadership is more about vision and the mission, whereas management is more about the process and the execution. And I think management tends to get a bad reputation, I think, most directly because of the fact that people we watch people come into positions of leadership only to then become managers. I've found myself in several situations looking at somebody and watching them simply just like come down on people for this or that thing that wasn't done or this or that measure that wasn't met. And I'm just like, that person's not a leader, they're a manager. And I am completely at fault for using that term in a negative connotation. And I think that comes from two different aspects. One is the people looking to be led find someone going into a position of leadership and find them not leading, therefore not having a leader, but only having a manager. And the person who goes into the position takes the role of leadership, executes it as management, and neither that person nor the others realize that the position of leadership hasn't been filled, because on paper it has, by name it has, but the actions being taken are not that. And so what ends up happening is the position, or the difference between the two and the complementary nature of the two, becomes ignored because it's just seen as having been fulfilled. No one sees the difference. And so because of this, and because of the connotations that come with management, it's often seen as mindless or as clockwork or being a cog in a machine. And that can be true. But when you think back to the multiple gunshots, the cardiac arrest, the critical scenario of any kind, you think about the best of situations because of how the situation is managed, how the process is executed on. And when that process is more clearly laid out and the process is more well managed, or it's executed more fluidly, those are the moments that stick to you the most in the most positive light. And I think this is one of the things that makes medicine, let alone resuscitation, so taxing. It's difficult enough to fulfill one of those roles, but to have to figure out both of those roles without much guidance, and not only be able to figure it out, but know when to switch between the two, when to know which one is needed, and then to almost single-handedly have to cultivate each one within yourself. I mean, that's feels like a completely insurmountable task. But it's definitely possible, and I think where that starts is getting granular and just understanding that the difference exists. When you lay out, when you compartmentalize the two of those, and you lay out what defines each role, and then make the connection of how each one complements the other, I think that's the first step to getting to a point where you can actually effectively carry each one out. And I think that gets one to a point where they can actually figure out how to switch between the two, assuming that they need to fulfill both roles. If you have a situation where you can have each role individualized, then that's great. But that doesn't always serve every purpose. That doesn't always serve every scenario. And that's not always a luxury that's afforded. But understanding the difference between the two, I think, is the first step, even on a microscopic level, for an individual to be able to switch between leader and manager. Understanding what each role plays allows you to take whatever data you're getting in any situation and putting it into its appropriate folder, and then accessing each of those at the appropriate time. But what it does make one realize is that each one cannot exist devoid of the other. So by understanding leadership, you can evaluate the areas that need vision, that need guidance, that need a certain energy to move forward and evolve. And then through that, you can find the followers who choose to come along that path with you. But there's that saying of like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going and whatever. We're not talking about toughness, but what I do like about that statement is the get going part, right? There's action, taking action. It precedes any and everything. It's the choice of objectively moving forward, whether you want to or not. When that is necessary, you need a process, you need execution, you need management. Management is what allows the vision to be executed in a concrete and systematic process in that manner. That process leads to a debrief, and that debrief brings about issues, progressions, ideas that are sort of the soil for that evolution of the vision to move forward. And that feeds the leadership, and then that cycle repeats itself. If you find this to be of any benefit, please just find one person to share it with, someone who you think might benefit, someone who you think thinks like this and would love to know that there's others out there like them. Share it with a person, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to our newsletter at www.rosc.life. Stay up to date with what we're doing. There are going to be projects coming out in the future, and the most important thing you can do is subscribe and show your appreciation by liking the podcast, rating the podcast highly, not low, please, and leave a comment if you like. I will definitely read them. Send an email if you like. I'll definitely read it. And thank you for being here, and thank you for listening. And if you're listening to this, thank you for listening this far. And like I said, I will see you next time.